the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary.
Good morning, friends. This is the Sterling Pulpit, brought to you by Sterling Reformed Presbyterian Church, a church committed to the inerrancy of God's Word, the Bible. My name is Denny Prudeau. I have the privilege of preaching the Word of God from the Sterling Pulpit. My objective is to help you understand the Word of God better so that you can serve God through Jesus Christ. At the close of this program, I'll tell you how you can receive a free copy of this radio message. Now join me around the Sterling Pulpit.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Psalm 131 is our text this morning. As we look at this psalm, we discover that the psalm itself is a great psalm of worship. It was a psalm which was sung by the people of God as they went up to the temple of God to worship the Lord. It is a song of ascents, as the introduction to the psalm says, a song of ascents of David. It is a psalm which was written by David, and so in the very first verse, when it says, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters, we can take these as the words of David the king, as he goes up to the temple of God to worship before the Lord. And I lay before you as a first point referring to this first verse in the psalm, pride engenders agitation. David talks about pride. David says, O Lord, my heart is not proud. And you can imagine that it would have been very possible for David, as he was king of Israel, to march up to the temple of God in some pride and some dignity as a head of state to worship the Lord. It's always been a source of amusement to me that in the military, it was always said that when an officer, and especially a general officer, entered a chapel, that general officer was like any other person in that chapel building. Didn't always work that way. And as a matter of fact, at the military academy at West Point, where the superintendent of the military academy is presently a 3-star general, there is a special seat for the general at the front of the chapel. He is not like everybody else in that chapel. And everybody there knows that he's not like everybody else in that chapel. Except before God. And I think this is why David, as the psalmist says, my heart is not proud. I dare not be proud as I come before you, O God, in worship, nor my eyes haughty. We heard the story just this week of a college student who, when the professor in a class set forth a particular doctrine, let the student simply roll her eyes in a haughty way and upset the professor somewhat, as this was the case. And we know that this could be the case. My eyes are not haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters, says David. David, who was the king of Israel, came into that position not in arrogance, not in pride, but he knew full well he came into that position in the providence of God. David more than once had an opportunity to slay King Saul. But when he had opportunity to slay the king, He said he would not do anything against the Lord's anointed. And he waited upon God to set aside Saul and to lift him up to the position of king. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters. I think all of us realize that when the pride comes, and when there is an involving of ourselves in great matters, and we look upon ourselves more highly than we ought to think, and when we see ourselves in positions where God is not going to place us, but we presume upon God and think that we ought to be in higher positions, agitation comes, discomfort comes, lack of rest ensues. And even for those who find themselves in high positions, oftentimes a great deal of unrest ensues. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that had to do with professionals who were finding a great deal of unrest even though they had high positions in industry. I've really found this article to be quite interesting. This is, again, is the Wall Street Journal, which says, in many ways, the 90s have been good for Kenny Lombino, is the name. Kenny Lombino. He's got a job with a top brokerage firm in Los Angeles, a $60,000 bachelor pad, and a blue Jaguar with vanity plates. He's even a master skydiver, having accomplished the difficult 30-way, a 30-link of divers plummeting to the ground. But last year, he felt he needed something more. I thought, here I am, 45 years old, and my life isn't going anyplace, he says. I have a penthouse in Westwood and the right kind of car, and my life is empty. Listen to this. The article says, so he did something really radical. He went back to church. Isn't this amazing? You got it all. And there is emptiness. Isn't this so often the case? O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters. The opposite of this kind of emptiness and the turmoil that will often come as a result of having it all materially but being empty spiritually, the opposite of this kind of unrest is a rest of heart and soul. Isn't this the case? Turn with me, if you would, in the New Testament to a couple of passages. First of all, in John chapter 14. These are familiar passages. John chapter 14. Verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Do not let your heart be troubled. I've long been fascinated by the word there that is translated trouble, because the word which is translated troubled is the word from which we derive the English word terrazzo. Now, some of you are going to look at me like, what does that mean? And some of you will remember that years ago, terrazzo floors used to be in vogue. And what that meant was that concrete was stirred up with pebbles in it and left to dry. And you had this terrazzo floor. And the word means stirred up. That's simply what it means. Don't let your heart be stirred up. Don't be troubled. And the problem with many people today is that they're troubled. They're stirred up on the inside. They lack rest. And it doesn't matter if you have a six-figure salary. That's not going to do it. We just read one testimony in that regard. Verse 27 in John chapter 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives peace do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Amazing, it seems to me. Where there is inner turmoil, where there is a lack of rest, what is needed? Well, in the end, Jesus Christ is needed. That's the bottom line. And so the article in the Wall Street Journal says that this executive did something which he considered radical. And why should it be considered radical in our day? He went back to church. He went back to a place where he could hear the Word of God. Should this really be radical? I'll tell you what, folks, even in evangelical circles, this is radical because many evangelicals do not think the Church of Jesus Christ is of any import. It just boggles my mind that this is the case. Matthew 18, which we read just a little bit ago. Well, I guess I'm not ready for that one yet. Matthew 11. Because we're talking about this rest. Matthew 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. Come to me, Jesus says, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The opposite of the agitation, the emptiness, the turmoil, the stir is rest that comes from God, that comes from Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis in this little book, Surprised by Joy, speaks about himself shortly before his conversion, when he became convinced of the fact that God was real, that God existed, and that he had to come to terms with the living God. Listen to what he says. For the first time, I examined myself with a seriously practical purpose. And there I found what appalled me, a zoo of lusts, a bedlam of ambitions, a nursery of fears, a harem of fondled hatreds. My name was Legion, he says. He says, when I looked inside finally, because of all the unrest and agitation, I found Legion was present. A bedlam of ambitions. And that's where most individuals are today. A bedlam of ambitions swarms over their souls. And then when they take time, finally, to analyze what's inside, they find out it is emptiness, really, and that they need rest for their souls. Let's go back to Psalm 131. I say of the second verse of Psalm 131, we may compare rest of soul to the rest of a child against his mother. I find this very amazing. David says, surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. I remember so well when I was in kindergarten. And my dad was in the Navy in the Pacific. And my mother was working. And so she would take me to a home where I would spend the day, go to kindergarten and come back. I remember several things about this little place. But I remember one incident particularly, that for some reason, I don't know what the reason was exactly, that for some reason, when my mom left me off at that home and drove away to go to work, I ran after her for several blocks crying. And when she saw me finally out of the rearview mirror of the car, she stopped the car and got out and came over to me and just gave me a great big hug. And I remember that very, very well. I don't remember what the problem was, but I do remember this, that all I wanted was to be in the arms of my mother. That's all I wanted. And it didn't take very much. It didn't have to be very long. That's all I wanted. What does the psalmist say? Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child. There's a simile there, isn't there? Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Rest of soul comes when we come to Christ, when we come to grips with who we are before God. And that rest of soul is similar to a young child. A child that's old enough to have been weaned, and in the Middle East, that was a child of considerable age. 5 or 6 or 7 years old, maybe older. And that child rests contented against his mother. How many of you mothers remember times like that? How many of you remember resting in the arms of your mother? I say to you, that rest, that quiet, that faith and rest and security that is given in that circumstance is a picture of the rest of heart and soul that comes to us in Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful picture. Let's compare Matthew 18 now, that we read a little bit earlier, and what Jesus says there. Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" What were the disciples worried about? The disciples wanted to know which one of them was going to have the chief seat in the kingdom of heaven. Which one of them was the best? A little bit of pride cropping out? A little bit of arrogance being exuded in that situation? I would say that was the case, wouldn't you? That was their concern. Hearken back to the psalm. Oh Lord, my heart is not proud before you, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I look for things that are too high for me. What was the desire of the disciples here? More concerned about themselves and their position in the kingdom. No small part of pride present. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." He calls the little child and he says to the disciples, "You see this little child? Unless you become like little children, like a child resting against his mother, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven." And the child has that implicit faith that says, "Yes, Lord," and is desirous of serving the Lord. That's what Jesus means. And that's where we have to be. We have to put away all of our arrogance and pride. We have to put away all our high-minded thinking. We need to be content in the circumstance in which God places us. We need to trust in the sovereign God and in Jesus Christ and become like little children, resting in the arms of their mothers. Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great things. See the disciples? Become like little children. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. You see, the answer to the emptiness, the answer to the agitation, the answer to the inner turmoil is the Lord. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's what Jesus says. Isaiah says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. O Israel, hope in the Lord." Come to this person of Jesus Christ. You know, part of our problem in the church today is the fact that we are after a sensation, after a feeling, after an experience, more than we are after the Lord, who is the answer. I really think that's the case. It's certainly the case in many marriages that sometimes husbands will say or wives will say, "I want out of this marriage. It doesn't feel the same anymore." When the essence of it is not those feelings, not those sensations. And if we're looking for the feelings and looking for the sensations, we miss the main event. I hope you can follow me here. I want to read from C.S. Lewis once again. He says that in his life he began to complain a little bit because the mountaintop experiences didn't come along as often as he thought they ought to. And the good times didn't come along as often as he thought they ought to. The good feelings didn't occur as often as he thought they should come along. And he says of this complaint, listen to this now. "By that complaint, I smuggled in the assumption that what I wanted was the thrill, a state of my own mind, that what I was after was a state of mind. And there lies the deadly error. Only when your whole attention and desire are fixed on something else, whether the distant mountain or the past, does the thrill arise. It is the byproduct. In other words, when you affix your attention upon having a certain emotional lift or desire, you're going to miss it. Because what happens is simply this. God gives us rest when we come to Him. And there's all the difference in the world. If you seek the rest, you miss it. But if you seek the Lord, you gain it. When I ran, following my mother driving away, what did I want? I wanted to be with my mom. And my attention was fixed on that. And when I was in the arms of my mother, then came the rest. And when we fix our eyes upon Jesus and pursue Him, the rest comes. The peace comes. Here's another quote from C.S. Lewis. The surest way of spoiling a pleasure is to start examining your satisfaction. To start engaging in that introspection and examining that pleasure. And then it vanishes. The pleasure in a marriage comes with being with that person. The peace of God comes with being with the Lord. And that's the whole point. And so the psalmist says, look at it again. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. The problem most evangelicals are having today is that they are missing the boat in that they want to go to a worship service and get their feelings tickled and have an emotional high so that they can say later on, wasn't that great? Didn't I feel good? And you can miss God entirely in all of that. You need to come to Christ. You need to come to the Lord. You need to have an encounter with God. See, that's the whole point. And the encounter with God and the rest you have in God is given to us in a beautiful picture. A child resting in the arms of his mother. And that rest and that sense of security is not going to take place in the heart of that child without mother. Because it's being with that person that makes the difference. And in Christianity, dear friends, it is being with the person of Jesus Christ and being before the Holy God that makes all the difference in the world.
To Thee I lift my soul, O Lord, I trust in Thee.
We hope you take the challenge of today's message. To receive a free audio cassette, you can call 1-800-777-0389. After you hear the recording, leave your name and address and ask for the radio message. The number is 1-800-777-0389. You can also visit us on the World Wide Web at www.sterlingpulpit.org. That's www.sterlingpulpit.org. Sterling Reformed Presbyterian Church is located on 8th Street, one block south of the Sterling College campus. Join us for worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week at the same time with another message from the Sterling Pulpit.
And I upon thee all the day, expecting to attend.